It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
Carol Shelton is our guest today on California Wine Country with Dan Berger. Is she here or is she still?
She is.
She's stuck in traffic. And before we begin, I'll let Dan talk about his thoughts on Carol Shelton and her wines. I mean, she's iconic.
She's a fabulous person, but also a great personality and a phenomenal winemaker. I got to know Carol back in the early 80s when she was the winemaker for Windsor Vineyards. And Windsor Vineyards was doing a lot of private label things. And she was working with grape varieties nobody ever wanted to touch. And she was making great wines from Grenache and who knows what, all kinds of stuff. And so now that she's on her own and things have gone really well for the last couple of decades and she's done such a brilliant job. So I really don't know what the latest is. I haven't seen Carol since. Well, we ran into her at the supermarket a couple of weeks ago. It dawned on me we had needed to get her back on the show.
Yeah, she's been on many times. We always appreciate her appearance, but it has been a while. She's been called the Queen of Zinfandel. Talk about that.
She really likes Zinfandel that has a distinctive quality, and Carol's really sensitive to alcohols, and so her wines tend to be a lot more balanced, even though some of them do get up there in the high 14s. But she's not really pushing the envelope to get up there in the 16s, and so that's one thing. But she also makes a fabulous Petite Syrah. She does a terrific job with it. She makes a white wine from Rhone grapes called Coquille Blanc, and she's bringing that tonight. Okay. It's really beautiful wine. And then, of course, her rosé, which is just a phenomenal experience. I think a lot of what Carol does is kind of overlooked by some people because she doesn't have the greatest national distribution. She is distributed nationally, of course, but some of the visibility is not quite as good as it is here. And her wines in this community are selling like hotcakes, and Bottle Barn does carry a good selection of them. So it's a lot of fun to reconnect with Carol. She hasn't been here for 14 months. I couldn't believe it.
Been that long, huh?
Yeah.
Her Wild Thing Old Vine Zin is really amazing, and it's, I guess, morphed into a family of Wild Things wine.
Yeah, she sort of copyrighted the Wild Thing name, and then some years ago I was in a novelty shop, and I found a little one of those little red buttons that has a battery in it, and if you push the button, it plays Wild Thing. So I bought it and sent it to her. She's been laughing about it ever since. Now, the Wild Thing brand has become quite a nice feature for her. She also makes a thing called Manga, which is Zinfandel coming from Cucamonga. Cucamonga is some of the oldest vines in America. I was just talking about Manga.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Great to see you. Have a seat.
On me.
This is the new
one.
Yeah,
this awesome. Isn't this cool?
This is beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, great to see you. It's been a while.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been quite a while.
So we were talking about, Manga. Let's just go right to Carol and explain Manga.
What's that all about?
Yeah, Manga is from Cucamonga.
Which is California, right?
Yeah, it's inland from L.A. About 70 miles.
Okay.
So it's actually the oldest and biggest spot to plant Zinfandel in the entire world.
Really?
Yeah, back during the 20s, there were about 80,000 acres. Yeah.
And one company called the Italian Wine Company owned 2,000 contiguous acres of red wine grapes east of Los Angeles, and it was the largest single contiguous vineyard in the world at that time.
And it's called Manga because of
Cucamonga.
Yeah,
right.
And it's humongous. So we got tired of saying Cuca, so we dropped it.
That's so cool.
It's a big mouthful of joy.
We have a lot to talk about with Carol Shelton, including, as we were just talking about before she popped in, Carol's Wild Thing, Old Vine Zin, has morphed into a whole family of wild things, including, and I don't think I've ever tasted this, and I would hope that you brought it, but maybe you didn't. Wild Thing Shard, since I am Mr. Shard.
We talked about that on the phone today, and she brought it.
Okay.
No, I didn't. I brought the Coquille
instead. Oh, you brought the Coquille instead. Okay.
Yeah. I brought you the Chardonnay lookalike.
Okay. And rosé. And you're now making some killer rosés, right, Dan?
Yeah, that's right. My 2017 rosé was featured on the cover of the Wine Spectator like the cover of the Rolling Stone. And in fact, John Bon Jovi was on the same cover, so I felt really special.
Yeah, he's doing wines too, right?
Yeah, he is, and he's doing rosé. And on top of that, in the Wine Spectator's Top 100 Wines issue, I was like number 73, and he was 83, or vice versa. And so we were the only two rosés in the Top 100 Wines. Me
no
and John.
Kidding.
Yeah, we're real tight.
You and Bon Jovi. Wow. It's 5:13. This is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn and Della Tofola, today featuring the great Carol Shelton. I want to have you, as we always do, give us your history. How did you become such a major player in California Wine Country? Because you're you've become iconic, my dear.
Oh, no. Is that like I get to be one of those things on the screen in Windows? It's like an icon?
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. I don't think of myself as very important. But, yes, I've been in the business for 42 years now.
Wow.
This is my 43rd year. And I was one of the early women graduates of UC Davis and the first 10 or 12 women that went through.
Right on.
And I was led by the wonderful role model of Marianne Graff, who just passed away about 4 or 5 days ago on the 30th of January. And she had a long battle with pancreatic cancer. But anyway, I was inspired by her and Zelma Long. And in fact, Zelma was one of my first bosses in the wine industry at Mondavi. And I started doing research at wineries and went over to Australia, worked down under, did the work at Buena Vista for about a year, where I was really lucky to have worked with Andrei Chelichev. He was the consulting winemaker who shaped much of the California wine industry and brought it into
without question. His name comes up almost every week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He gifted California and brought us up to where we could meet European standards and surpass them, in my opinion.
But yeah.
My humble opinion.
Where did you grow up? I forget.
Actually, upstate New York in the Finger Lakes.
Huh?
Rochester. Yeah, we had a home in Canandaigua. And I grew up drinking Niagara, Delaware, Catawba. There were no vinifera or Cabernet, Riesling, Pinot grapes there at all yet.
Well, there were some, but people never made wine out of them because nobody trusted them.
Right. I moved away in 71, and he was just starting to plant them, Willie Constantine Frank. And, so it was a big change to come to California and have real wine.
How long have you been here?
It was 1971. I was 15 in high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
My dad got transferred, and I'm the youngest, so I went everywhere with my parents, and they were restocking their wine supplies. So they would we lived in San Mateo area, so we would go over to either the Santa Cruz Mountains or over to Livermore. So Wente Brothers, Blanc de Blanc, and Green Hungarian, and Grey Riesling, and all that. Those were big wines at our house.
What made you decide the wine world and winemaking was for you, and it seems like you almost became sort of obsessed. I mean, you know, come on.
Yeah.
41 years, 42 years?
Yeah, well, anytime you find something that you like and you do well, you stick with it. But I started out wanting to go to Davis to be a poet and maybe learn language and be a teacher or an interpreter or something. I love words. And so my mom said, you know, you're the youngest of four kids. The other three have liberal arts degrees and don't have jobs. So we don't want to pay for another liberal arts degree, so find something else. She said, you're good at science and you're good at cooking. Look at the food sciences. Yeah, try that out. So I started taking all the classes I could, kicking and screaming, thinking, I want to do poetry. I want to study with Robert Frost. And Robert Frost died when I was in high school, so that was lucky for them. bad for me. But I found wine, and I discovered that it was the most creative science and the most scientific art. Because this
is
before
scientific
computers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I predate computers, so I could have done computer graphics, computer music, any other kind of computery sort of thing and gotten my creativity and science blend, but at that time, this was it.
I think Carol's greatest claim to fame, actually, and this she'll probably tell me I'm nuts, but I think when you were making things like
we all do that all
Carignan
the time,
and Barbera and stuff under the Windsor brand, that was the most creative you ever were, because those are grapes nobody cared about, and you made them all gold medal winners at competition.
Thank you, Dan.
Fabulous wines.
Yeah, I'm still trying to do that. I mean, the rosé here is Carignan. We bottle a red Carignan. My favorite white of all the wines I do, red or white, is this white wine Coquille Blanc.
Yeah, so we're talking about that, if you would.
Yeah,
before
we
can taste
try it.
Let's do it.
It's Grenache Blanc, Roussan, Viognier, and Marsan, and it is all barrel fermented. All the grapes come from Paso, and I tried to. Let me get some for Dan here.
Paso Robles.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. Here we go.
Well, after Cucamonga, I was thinking maybe it's El Paso, but I don't know.
No white grapes in Paso in Cucamonga. At least not many. They get fried pretty easily.
Fascinating wine.
But this wine is my darling, because it's. A lot of people don't like Chardonnay, sorry, Steve, because it's one-dimensional. It's either comes on with oak or comes on with stainless steel, and it's kind of boring. And it's the same sip from front to back. The very last sip you get tastes
just like
the beginning.
I actually agree with that. Yeah, there's just something about it in the mid-palate that I love.
Yeah.
And,
So this is kind of a thing that wants to be Chardonnay but wants to go beyond.
So what year is this?
It's a 2017, a fairly new release, and Wine Spectator just gave it 93 points, which is rare for a white wine, especially a non-Chardonnay. And it's gotten a couple of double golds already, and it's quite popular.
I am digging the hell out of this. Dan?
I think it's the best white wine you've made to date under your own label, and I think part of the reason is that some of your fruit is now coming from more mature vines, and the Viognier and the Roussan are making a statement here.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other two grapes that you're using in here don't make as quite much of a statement. This is a wine that really is extremely complex. Can you imagine how this would be in about two more years in the bottle? When this is all sort of pieces right now. It's just a baby.
Yeah. I started making this blend in 2008, and I have some of the 2008 still, and it is phenomenal. And that's 11 years old. For a white wine, that's really unusual. But it's because, largely, the Roussan, as you said, the Grenache Blanc gives it a steely backbone and a core that gives it enough acidity to stand up to fattier foods, but also age better. And then the Roussan puts flesh on the bones, gives it roundness and a little bit of honey, a little bit of peach, and a little bit of almond.
I'm getting all that.
Here you go.
And I got a bad cold, but I'm still, I can't do the nose because of my bad cold.
Because of the fact that there's that Viognier in there,
that's
tropical fruit.
Okay.
All these pieces of things are coming together, but they're coming at you separately. Now, imagine what would happen if you put this in a decanter for 2 hours or something.
Yeah. And then let it warm up a little bit as well. It's just a tiny bit cold right now, but it's pretty cold outside right now.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
That's why I stay indoors.
Yeah.
This is delicious.
Isn't that delicious?
Thank you.
Man. And available, we'll get into more about how people can get your wines.
Yeah, it's at Bottle Barn. It's about the only retail place, but at our tasting room and online, but it's called Coquille Blanc because when you put a blend together that doesn't have 75% of a single variety, you have to call it something. Just plain white wine doesn't really do. So we called it Coquille as a tribute to the Coquille means scallops or shellfish, which it accompanies quite well. But also in Paso Robles, the soils are largely made of ground up shells. So it's very calcareous, a lot of calcium in the soil. And my family coat of arms had scallop shells for Shelton.
Really?
So it's kind of a triple entendre there.
The amazing Carol Shelton with Carol Shelton Wines. She's been doing it 41, 42 years. She's amazing. And it's great to have her back with us on California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn and Della Tofola. California Wine Country, remember, it is a podcast. You can go to calwinecountry.com or any place where great podcasts are offered and check it out every week. Whether you missed it or want to hear more details and listen to it again, it's calwinecountry.com. Apple Podcasts, everything, all right? So check it out and make sure you
subscribe.
That's right. Doesn't cost you a thing, and we'll send you each podcast onto your phone or whatever the hell you use. It is California Wine Country, brought to you by Della Tofola and, of course, Bottle Barn. Dan Berger, my longtime co-host, and today the return of the wonderful Carol Shelton from Carol Shelton Wines. It's so good to see you.
Thank you, Steve.
And it's always a pleasure to taste your stuff.
My stuff.
Did I ask you before the break about how the wild one...
Wild thing happened.
It is named for the Zinfandel that we're going to try after the rosé. But the Zin, a long time ago, I like to mess around with a lot of different yeast strains. And I tried a lot of different commercially available freeze-dried yeast strains. And then I tried one without adding any yeast. Because the latest trend had been to kind of go back to the past and do a non-inoculated, and we call that wild yeast fermentation.
As opposed to freeze-dried yeast.
Right.
I didn't know that was a thing, freeze-dried yeast.
The grapes grow with a little natural yeast on them.
Okay.
And if you don't deal with that and get rid of them, it will do a fermentation all by itself.
Wow.
But it's a little tricky to do it. That's why you have to have a really talented person to do it.
Thanks. They call me the yeast whisperer. Because you got to know. So, I mean, the fact that these are organically grown grapes really helps. So I don't add yeast, and the yeast that are on the skins have to do all the fermenting. If there had been pesticides added, they're targeting fungi like mildew and mold, mm-hmm. and they're going to kill off most of those yeasts. So the pesticides would. So being organic, there are no pesticides. I get 100% of the population, and they're very healthy, and they do a really nice job of fermenting on the Zin and make it very, very creamy and round. And then the rosé that we're drying right now, Wild Thing Rendezvous Rosé Zin, is from the same vineyard, not wild yeast fermented, because I discovered that the wild yeast, if I used them, made it a little too heavy and weighty for something that you want to be vibrant and refreshing and light on its feet. And it
didn't
come across
that way. Well, that sounds like a great rosé.
Mm-hmm. It is.
How long have you been making rosé?
Since 2002, before it was popular.
Before it was popular, yeah, because it's now huge. Everyone's making it.
Yep.
And there's some amazing blends. And your blend here is?
This particular year is 60% Carignan.
Carignan.
And
right.
38% Zin and 2% Petit Syrah. Right. So last year it was about 80-20, not 60-40. But it's
get that rosé over here.
Oh, yeah. Here you go.
This is a
lovely bottle, too.
Thanks.
I'm big on labels on wine bottles, and you've always been, especially with the wild things.
Yeah. Thanks.
They're so cool. In fact, you were in, I don't think it was last time. I think it might have been the first time you were in, I don't know, 30 years ago when we started the show. You brought a bottle of Wild Thing Zin, and the bottle, the label, everything was so great. It's still on top of my refrigerator where I save empty wine bottles.
Oh, good. I hope it's empty. I hope you did drink it.
Oh, yes. You're not going to find any full wine bottles on top of my refrigerator. But.
Well, we started that package in 2008, so it probably was sometime in the last 10 years.
Yeah. Very cool. California Wine Country with Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn and Della Tofala. The great Carol Shelton is back with us. I'm such a fan. What can I say?
Thanks, Steve.
And it's great to see you again because it's been a while, but... Where were we, kids?
We were talking about that rosé, which
let's talk about the rosé.
This stuff is like somebody put strawberries in it, except it's illegal to do that, so therefore it's nothing but Carignan and some Zinfandel.
I got this horrible cold, and this is the first wine today that I've been able to get a sniff of and go, oh, my.
Yes, absolutely.
Even I can smell this.
It'll wake up your palate, too, because it's nice and tangy.
Yeah.
Great acidity.
Is this a 17?
Yes.
No.
18.
Yeah, my 17 did so well in the Spectator that it sold out by early summer. So we decided for the 18 that actually we took pre-orders from our distributors, and I knew exactly how much I wanted to produce, so we made 2,800 cases,
wow.
which was almost doubling last year's 1,600 cases.
All right, Dan, tell me about this. This is amazing.
The bright strawberry component is interesting to me because it has got both table strawberries as well as baby strawberries. Frais de bois. And what I like about this kind of wine is that there's so much good acidity. It's not sharp acidity. What it is it gives it balance. So this wine is really just a baby. It needs about 7 months, 6 or 8 months before you finally see all this fruit begin to subside and some of the other secondary issues come into play. This is a terrific look, you've had successful rosés for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
This might be the best you've made in one respect. You can ask people to buy a case, and if they lose a bottle, it's better than it was when it came out.
I think that's good.
Dan Layitdown Burger would say 2 years? What about the decanting thing? Because I now finally got a decanter.
This wine is so clean and pure that it doesn't need decanting. But if you did decant it, it would give it that punch of air that would explode some more of the sort of the blossomy components, which are not necessarily visible in here. I'm picking up a trace of blossoms, but mm-hmm. not very much. And I think a little aeration might help it. But the point is, this wine's got such better acidity than most rosés will ever see. This wine will sit in my cellar for a year or two, and it just get better and better and better until if it ever loses any of the fruit, I suspect I'll have consumed it all by then.
And the problem
Carol, talk about how you made this wine, because it is truly amazing.
Okay, so we pick this very green, in a sense. If you were picking it for red wine, you're targeting 24.5 to 25.5, maybe even 26 Brix, and one Brix is like 1% sugar. So I picked this at 21.5. So it's very much less ripe. And then a lot of people would go straight to a press and extract the juice right away. That's how you make a very pale rosé. And my problem with those, I call them ghost rosés because they pass right through you. The flavor isn't there. But this one has 2 days on the skins. So we destemmed it to a tank, and then we pumped over once the next day, and then the next day we actually drained off. Steve stealing the coquille.
I love the coquille.
Here's the cork, Steve.
Thank you. Toss it over here.
The other thing about this wine, too, is that when you make this wine in this manner, the color gets a little darker, and some people who are sort of rosé freaks will say, well, that's a little too dark for me. Well, here's a wine that tastes lighter.
Yeah.
It actually has the acidity that you never associate with a slightly darker rosé. This is really a gorgeous
Some people stuff. Think that they're afraid to try a darker rosé because they assume it's going to be sweet,
right.
As in the very old school in the 1970s rosés. And no, this is modeled after a Tavel, which is the southern Rhone region, and they're always this dark, and they usually have Carignan and Merlot. I just don't have a lot of Merlot, but they're a mixture of grapes, and they are this dark and this tart and lovely. So if you want to try something similar, you would go for Chateau Trancavidel in the Tavel. They're wonderful, wonderful rosés as well.
Was that German she was just speaking?
Chateau Trancavidel.
That is a very fine rosé, by the way. For year, we used to taste all the time together with a bunch of Sonoma County winemakers. And whenever it was a rosé session, I would make sure I was there. And the Trancavidel is always the winner.
That's right. It was a very popular wine.
Nice wine. But this is better than that because it's so vibrant. I mean, you have to wait 6 months to get the French stuff. Here, stuff has been... How long has this been bottled, Carol?
Not quite a month.
Whoa.
That's fresh.
January 11th.
So where and when will it be available?
It's available at our tasting room now, and it will actually be in Bottle Barn and Safeway.
Cool.
And possibly Raley's.
Wow.
Safeway is definitely taking on some. Our California distributor has made some good connections for us. So they've been supporting the Wild Things Inn, and now they're excited about the rosé.
Go to carolshelton.com to find out a lot more and get some of these amazing wines. I don't know. Dan, help me here. I just every time Carol comes in, I go, this is the greatest stuff ever.
Look, a lot of what we do in Sonoma County is under the radar. There's a lot of exposition about wines from around the world that gain recognition because they're expensive or because they have fancy packaging or they have huge public relations behind them. Carol and many, many California wineries, in particular in Sonoma County, are doing an exemplary work, and very, very few of them get the full recognition. One example is Zinfandel. Zinfandel is our grape. This is a California grape. It's maybe found elsewhere. I know of one vineyard in Washington that's very good, and I know one vineyard in Oregon that's very good, but we do Zin. when you taste Zinfandel, they're across the board, they're all different. Carol is a purist. She wants these wines to reflect what the vineyard she's buying them from do best. And so tell us a little bit about this one. This is Old Vine.
This is the Wild Things Inn, right. And it's from Mendocino, not the beautiful seaside town because it's too darn cold there for red grapes especially, but in just north of Ukiah and south of Calpella. It's at the edge of the Redwood Valley on the west side of 101. And it is about 62-year-old vineyards. It was planted in 1956, my birth year. So it's as old as I am. And they're organically grown. They look like giant cousin its. It's funny. I've been saying that to younger people, and they kind of look at me quizzically because they don't know who cousin it was.
Yeah.
Oops. Well, he was this hairy little critter. Anyway, the branches go all the way to the ground, and you have to kind of do a little treasure hunt to find the clusters amongst the leaves. Yeah. And it's a very tricky vineyard to grow well, and the Cox family does a very good job. So I take it. Once the fermentations are done, I leave it on the skins for quite a while. So it actually sits on the crushed grape skins for a full month before it's pressed off, which is a luxury. A lot of people are rushing to turn that tank over and press it off and use the tank for something else. But I kind of dig my heels in and say, no, we got to stay put. This is
where
it's going to stay.
People don't realize what a 7-day-a-week, 24-hour job this is during a harvest season. When you've got a vineyard as good as this, and then you finally got it in the tank, you've got to watch it. You've just got to be there. You can't just take a couple of days off.
You got to babysit it.
Oh, yeah. This is tricky stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And especially because it's a wild yeast fermentation. So that means that I don't add any yeast. It can be a real nail biter. There was one year a ways back when the fruit came in at 50 degrees, and the yeast were just like, whoa, it's too cold. We're not waking up yet, honey. So as the fruit gradually warmed up, and there was no real way to warm it, it was about 2 weeks before it started fermenting. And you can have a nasty spoilage issue in waiting for that long. So it was every day I would come home and my husband would say, well, did you decide to add yeast to the wild thing yet? No, I can't. I can't.
Can't you take blankets out there and sleep with them?
It has been done, actually.
I'm not surprised.
You can run hot water over the tank.
And these days,
you can heat the glycol. But it's basically usually isn't a problem. But I blend this with Carignan. So the rosé, I only took about 40 to 50% of the juice out of the skins when I bled. So there's still a good 60 to 50% of the juice left.
And what do you do with that?
I fermented out red and blended into the Zin. Funny you should ask.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So this is now 14% Carignan in the final Zin blend.
And this is a 2015?
Yes. Wow. And it's about 7 or 8% Petit Sirah out of the same vineyard as well.
Dan, your thoughts on this? I mean, you know.
Just between the 14 and 15, you could make a really strong case that 14 was showier, a little bit more impressive. This is a better wine. Because a winemaker, as good as Carol is, she knows where the wine will sustain itself with the acidity. The 14, as good as it was showy, but didn't have the structure. This has got great structure.
Thank you. Yeah, she got good bones. Cheekbones.
Talk about, besides Bottled Barn and a few places, tell everyone where they can get the amazing Carol Shelton
from
wines.
Us.
Okay, and you know, it's carolshelton.com, but explain to everyone where you are so they can come by and see
you. My winery is on Coffee Lane. We're in a business park, and we were two blocks south of all of the fires in Coffee Lane.
Yeah,
Coffee
Park. And your winery made it through in Coffee Park, but you guys lost your home in Larkspur?
Larkfield. So we were on the other side of the freeway, just
of course,
over by Molesbury's Market, who also carries this wine.
Yeah.
And we left our home thinking, oh, we'll be back in a couple of days. They'll just put the fire out and then we'll figure it out, not realizing how bad it was going to be. And we got across the freeway thinking we'll just go to the winery because there's a couch we can sleep and, you know, we'll take a snooze and then we'll figure out where we're going to go from there. And as we came around the corner down Barnes Road and into Coffee Park, all of a sudden it's 2 a.m. and all these cars are coming out. We're like, what the hell is going on? It's 2 o'clock. With some game let out or something, and then we realized there was a game in town. It was a hot one. And they were all evacuating, and we had no idea that Coffee Park was on fire. So we went to the winery, and we actually stayed there about 5 hours. And my husband promptly conked out and went to sleep. He has no problem sleeping anywhere. But I was patrolling and making sure we were okay. And our buildings are concrete with fire-retardant roofs surrounded by a lot of concrete parking lot and stuff. So it was fairly safe. But we also heard that the fire department – we heard many months later – the fire department had made their stand in front of Schaefer School, Schaefer Elementary School at San Miguel and Coffee – 2 blocks north of us. So if they had not made their stand there, we could have seen a lot of damage. And we probably would have been all right. But I was texting my sister, who lives in Boston, while this was going on. We didn't have cell reception, of course. And I was texting her and saying, I just heard a big boom. And that was the gun shop going up on the corner of Range and Piner.
Oh, good Lord.
And we didn't know what it was because we only had windows facing north to Coffee Park. And she said, you know, I didn't really want to tell you this, but you might actually suffocate because the fire might consume all the oxygen and you might be surrounded. And I went, holy crap.
You can say holy crap on the radio.
Yeah. I was careful to say crap and not something else. But I woke my husband up and we were out of there in 10 minutes as soon as she mentioned that idea. It took my sister, the school librarian, to tell me that. And I'm a scientist.
California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn and Della Tofola. And our guest today is the amazing Carol Shelton. I keep saying that, and she kind of looks at me and laughs and says, stop it. We got a lot to talk about here and very little time. Let me just tell you that Della Tofola, they do everything Della Tofola does, from crushers to conveyors, pumps to presses, including filters, fillers, and complete packaging solutions, which is why we have hired them on the drive. They do our crushers, our conveyors, our pumps, just to get us on the radio every day. They have award-winning technologies. They make it easy, especially for the wine industry, to get your grapes from vineyard to bottle. They are worldwide. They're so famous. And every time we have winemakers and such coming in, I say, have they saved your ass? And they say, a few times, yeah. Carol Shelton is here with Dan Berger. All right, we don't have a lot of time, so...
Okay, the last wine is the...
Reserve.
Karma Reserve. Is that the 15?
Yes, it is the 2015.
I will only say one thing. If people argue that you can't age Zinfandel, this is the wine that's going to improve. This is a really terrific wine. It's like you have here a claret style because of the aging in French oak, the combination of the vibrant fruit, but also the underlying secondary flavors. All of this is going to provide tremendous opportunities for aging this wine. And I have aged Zinfandel for a long, long, long time sometimes, and this has got the future.
Thank you.
This is a great stuff.
It's being helped quite a bit because it's only about 60% Zin, and I think it's around 15 or 16% Petite Syrah, 10% Cabernet.
Oh, good.
Cabernet
gracious.
Comes from King Ridge Road, so it's out toward the coast and nice, bright acidity. And there's some Carignan, some Alicante, a wild bunch of things. So I think there's even a pinch of Viognier in there.
I'm going to put a bottle of this away for about 7 to 8 years, and then we'll bring it in and we'll try it again and we'll see. This is Zinfandel to age, and very few people age Zinfandel.
Wow.
We started to make this wine because I wanted something where I could take the very best of everything that I had and do the very best blend that I could put together and remove the restrictions of having to be 75% Zin or 75% Sonoma County.
Yeah.
Most of the grapes are from Fountain Grove, and this particular vineyard we were not able to pick in 2017 because the fire went over it. We didn't lose it.
You're right.
But it is a very good vineyard. It's called the Bastoni Ranch.
All right. It's carolshelton.com. Find out everything about all her amazing wines and how to get them. Carolshelton.com. You know I love you.
Thank you, Steve.
It's so good to see you.
Thanks, Steve. I really appreciate the opportunity.
It's California Wine Country with Dan Berger. What are we doing next week? Do we know yet?
We're going to drink some wine.
Yeah, I would think so.
I'm in New Zealand next week, yeah.
Oh, next week. So Simino coming in?
Yeah, he's up.
You're going to be in New Zealand for 3 weeks?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, you need to call in if you can.
I will certainly do it. I'll put it on the calendar.
All right, good. Cool. All right, guys, thank you so much. Great
thank
to see you,
Steve.
Carol.